24. Jeff and Roy watched the dragons creep toward the pile of apples. When the lead dragon looked ready to venture its first exploratory bite, Jeff took to the sky, pulling the apples along in his wake. He flew barely faster than a walking pace at first, watching as the horned dragon snapped its jaws at the empty space where the apples had been. The dragon stepped forward, then leapt forward, then ran, and finally took to the air. Soon, Jeff was flying backwards, pointing his wand behind him at the flying pile of apples. Beyond it, he saw a parade of five dragons, flying in a loose single-file line, slowly gaining on him. Jeff needed to gauge his speed carefully, making sure that he kept the dragons close enough to not lose interest in the apples, but not so close that they ever caught up and discovered that the apples were an illusion. He also had to steer the whole processional in a large turn and then come back past Roy so he could place the goal, and do all of this while flying backwards. He managed the turn and dropped altitude so that he passed Roy at a distance of about 200 feet and an altitude of 100. He risked glancing away from the dragons long enough to see Roy standing with his staff at his side, making no effort to create a goal.
"What the hell?"
Jeff yelled. Roy shouted back,
"I'm just enjoying the show."
Jeff led the dragons away through a wide radius turn and back past Roy, who still did nothing.
"Come on, man!"
Jeff shouted. Roy said,
"Maybe next time."
"Any time now, Roy!"
Jeff shouted as he passed his compatriot, still standing on the ground, refusing to create a goal in front of the lead dragon.
"I have an idea, kid. Back at Lead Church, we beat the dragons eventually, but not until all the civilians had hidden indoors, right? So all any of them saw was us pretty much getting our butts handed to us."
"So?"
"So, we look like a bunch of idiots. We can't just leave it like that. Word will get around. It's bad for business. We need to save face, do something to show we're in control, so that when people hear about how we screwed up in Lead Church, they won't buy it. Right now, all of those people standing on the city wall are watching you lead these dragons around like a herd of baby ducks. It's impressive. So why end it?"
"You want me to showboat for the crowd?"
"Think of it as PR. The military has air shows. Why not us? My boy, you and those dragons are the wizard's blue angels."
"Okay, I get it. I guess there's no harm in putting on a little show before we take the dragons out. What should I do?"
Roy said,
"I don't know. I'm not a dragon choreographer. Make something up. Just make sure it's fancy. And get in close to the crowd. Buzz them a couple times."
Jeff aimed himself in a direction parallel to the wall, at an altitude where he would not hit anything, and looked back over his shoulder so he could watch the dragons. He wasn't directly controlling the dragons, just the apples they chased, but he could use that to his advantage. He spun the tip of his wand in a slow clockwise circle. The apples moved in proportion to the wand. The lead dragon followed the apples. The second dragon followed the first. The pattern continued through all five dragons, resulting in a graceful spiral. Jeff spun the wand the other direction, the spiral reversed direction. Jeff moved the wand up and down and watched as a wave propagated through the tail of the last dragon like a whip cracking. Jeff stopped, hovering stationary above the ground, and slowly spun, holding his wand out to the side. The apples and the dragons flew around him in a wide circle.
"Roy, are you seeing this?"
"Yeah, it's real impressive."
"I know, it's kind of like rhythmic gymnastics, you know, like in the Olympics."
Jeff experimented with making the dragons double back, trying to see how tight a turn they could manage. When he thought he had a good idea of their capabilities, he flew toward the wall. As part of Jimmy's civic renewal program, back when he went mad with power, he put a protective wall around the entire city. He built it in solid gold, of course, because that way it matched the immense castle he also built. Anything else would have been gauche, or at least more gauche. The wall stood 3 stories tall and at least 10 feet wide. The top of the wall teemed with people who had heard about the wizards and the dragons doing something and wanted to see for themselves. Jeff flew straight toward the spectators, trailing the dragons behind him. He stopped, then brought the dragons around so that the far end of their circular course took them directly over the people's heads. The dragons were easily 20 feet above them, but the people still ducked and shrieked as they passed by. Jeff turned around, swinging the dragons in a wide arc. He made the dragons fly in a loop, then nearly hit the wall before doubling back, then fly in an inverted loop, then over the wall and the crowd again. Jeff brought the dragons to the point of the circle farthest from the wall and the crowd, then swung the wand and the apples up over his head. The apples traced a curved path over him and down toward the ground just inside the city wall. The dragons obediently followed. As he turned back to execute the apples' recovery from the dive, he noticed that he had drifted a bit closer than he'd thought. But he wasn't worried about it. He made the apples pull up over the wall back out into the open. The dragons followed the apples into the dive, but dropped behind the wall and did not come back out. Jeff heard yelling. He quickly flew over the wall and looked down at the spot beneath where he'd last seen the dragons.
"Oh, fantastic!"
Jeff moaned.
"Of all the places to put on our little air show, we pick a spot right next to the farmer's market."
Roy said,
"I didn't know that Camelot has a farmer's market."
"Had, Roy. Had."